We've had Senator Kevin Kelly on in the past. Great guy. Great guy. Wonderful colleague of mine when I was up there. And thank God we still have him up there. Fighting for particularly our seniors. He does a lot of work with
big time with the seniors.
We really appreciate all of his efforts for that. But this is this has to do with an op-ed, and it had to do with policies that encourage people to actually move elsewhere.
Out of Connecticut.
Thank you, Governor Ned Lamont. And he doesn't deserve all the praise, though. He doesn't deserve all the thanks, because you can also thank his predecessor, Governor Dan Malloy. And in fact, it doesn't even stop there. How about the Connecticut State Legislature, which is, as you know, has been a one-party rule for about 40 years, that being the Democrats in control of both the House and Senate, with the exception of a tie about a term or was it last 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah. Last year and the year before that. Yeah. They're not tied anymore. So let's bring our guest, Senator Kevin Kelly, on. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Gary. Always great to talk with you.
It is always our privilege
to have you on.
Oh, of course. So let's talk about this op-ed. This is really interesting here.
It is very interesting, Gary. And, you know, in addition to Governor Lamont and the one-party rule in the General Assembly, we often forget about the fact that we have all Democrats in the U.S. Senate and U.S. House of Representatives representing Connecticut.
Sure, the entire delegation, you're right.
So the Democratic Party has all the power, all of it, in the state of Connecticut. And it's been that way since 2010. And you got to start asking yourself, with all that power and all the eggs in one basket, what's it doing for us? Well, the one thing that has changed in the land, or is new in the land of steady habits, is the steady habit that's developing of people leaving our state.
That's right.
And that's got to change. And obviously the policies that, you know, last election, and then we see what's happening. You know, government continues to put its hand in our pocket. And I think that's what becomes so frustrating for middle-class families is, while the Democrats talk about going after the 1%, the taxes that they come up with, like the grocery tax, like the plastic bag tax, like the taxing meals, and, you know, meals from food trucks, the 1% doesn't buy rotisserie chickens. It's the middle class and seniors on fixed incomes. It's the people that can least afford it. But the Democratic Party is giving us some of the most regressive tax policies, which people can no longer tolerate, and so they're voting with their feet. They're beginning to leave the state of Connecticut in droves. And that's the problem, is that with all that power that the Democrats have, they have not given Connecticut families a blueprint for prosperity or a blueprint to prosperity. And it's just, it's disheartening.
Kevin, when you address this in the legislature, in the Senate specifically, you bring up a really good point, because you're right, it doesn't affect the 1%. It's a middle-class tax hike.
No question about it.
And for years, the Democrats had the reputation of being fighting for the blue-collar man, fighting for the middle class, when it's actually the opposite. I see more Republicans fighting for the blue-collar, middle-class working man, or working person, working man, woman, whatever. But when you bring this up and you debate this on the Senate floor, what is their rebuttal to that? How could they even come up with an argument to your point?
Well, they really have no rebuttal. Case in point, on the floor of the Senate, and we were just presented the bill, the budget bill that day. As you know, Gary, they keep us in the dark, and they don't let us involved in the process until the last minute. But I was able to read the bill, pick out these things on the grocery tax in particular, raise the points on the Senate floor. Nobody, you know, they still voted in lockstep, and now they're running around the state of Connecticut saying, oh, well, we didn't realize that was there. Hogwash.
They didn't read it then. They didn't read it.
They didn't listen either when people on the other side who have a different perspective make a point that says, hey, there's something in this bill that's not right. But this is just one of them. We can talk tax policy.
But it's easier to point fingers. Didn't they blame it on DRS or the commissioner of Department? Yeah, Department. Didn't, right. I thought they...
Yeah, it was DRS.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right, Gary. They're blaming it on DRS, but the fact of the matter is it's in plain English in the law. And if they really represented and wanted to defend taxpayers, they'd get it out of the law so that it couldn't be brought up again.
They had that opportunity prior to the beginning of October 1st.
They did. They still have that opportunity. It's called session, both special session and regular session. They could fix it.
Well, the regular session doesn't start until after
until
the
February.
First. Right. It's February next year. Right.
Correct.
You know,
and you're right, Gary, and you know this because serving together on aging, we also have very poor and regressive aging policies. You saw that the governor came out this year with a cut to funding on nursing homes.
Yep.
And then at the same time, contemporaneous with that, and part of the thought process, and I don't quite understand the thought process because they're saying as our aging population is exploding, we're going to need less nursing home beds. But the governor believes that, so he's trying to reduce nursing home beds. At the same time, saying that community care is better, but he's cutting and shutting down the Connecticut home care program. So you can't have it both ways. But I think seniors and people moving into retirement start to recognize, hey, as I get older, not only are you going to hit me on the tax policy and take more money out of my family budget, but if I turn and I need help and assistance, there's no safety net in Connecticut for seniors anymore.
Yeah, he's right. You're right.
So why would you stay here? And that's the problem. And then the other point is, who do grandparents like to hang around with? Their grandkids.
Of course.
Well,
of course.
With no jobs in Connecticut and a poor economy, the kids aren't coming back after college or after they get a trade. They move elsewhere to begin their careers, and guess what? The grandparents are going with them.
You know what bothers me, and I get sick of hearing it all the time, and that's what we hear. It seems year after year after year. But I don't understand why we, the citizens of this state, when we get together, we can get things done. And why is it that every year the same thing happens and we talk about the same thing? Why can't we just get involved to get the folks to understand what is going on and what should be going on? Why can't we do that?
There's no reason, Brad. It's common sense, and I think if you walk into a room with any group of constituents and ask them, do you expect your elected representatives to just go up and vote party line, they'll say no. They elect their representatives to go to Hartford to do the right thing for the people of Connecticut. And that's where it gets frustrating, is when you start to put forward good, solid ideas that just don't resonate, and you sometimes scratch your head why. I mean, I'll give you a couple examples. I put forward a bill that would give pregnant women the right to buy insurance upon their pregnancy. Do you think that would be a no-brainer?
You'd think, yeah.
But that's the only bill that Governor Malloy did not sign. He did not sign it into law. He allowed it to pass into law. He didn't veto it. And I think that had a lot to do with because the idea came from a Republican.
That's even more sickening.
Right.
Wow.
There's a bill I put forward this past year that has to do with what's called reinsurance and utilizing the Affordable Care Act to leverage federal dollars to help reduce insurance premiums, which are way too expensive in the state of Connecticut.
Mm.
We can reduce premium anywhere from 5 to 20%, depending upon how much the state wants to contribute. Now, the Democrats had no appetite for that. Access Health hired a consultant. The consultant came back and said the way Kelly's doing it is the way to do it. The cost is a mere $20 million, but in a $20 billion budget, that's one-tenth of one penny. Did it happen?
No.
Could Connecticut families not use a 5% reduction in their insurance premium?
Oh.
Heck yeah, they could. Had no traction. Another one. What do we do really great in the state of Connecticut? Defense contracting. Great with Sikorsky, Pratt & Whitney, Electric Boat. We get a lot of federal dollars and a lot of federal contracts. One of the bills I put forward is Buy Connecticut. And what Buy Connecticut would require is that we would offer R&D tax credits, innovative ideas to keep on the cutting edge of these industries. And we would give those R&D tax credits to these defense contractors if they utilized in-state supply line manufacturers to create more Connecticut, more good-paying Connecticut jobs. In other words, we're going to get the federal money here for these defense contracts. Let's keep the money home. Once again, no appetite. And to me, these are what would make, hey, there's more jobs in Connecticut, more good-paying jobs in Connecticut. Things like this, lowering insurance costs for Connecticut families. These are good ideas that are Republican ideas, but they do not resonate because they aren't in, I'm going to say, the Connecticut priority list. One that really frosts me is that $20 million for the health insurance.
Uh-huh.
The governor put on a tie and went up and sat in front of Jonathan in Stores when they decided to move UConn from All-American Athletic Conference, whatever it is,
yep,
to the Big East. That's going to cost the state about $20 million. When I look at that, these budgets are about priorities. And in the Kelly household, the health insurance premium is more important than the tickets to the UConn basketball game
yeah,
Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, and the Byron household, too.
Yeah, but in the
Every day.
But in the Connecticut Democratic Party's agenda, UConn was more important than Connecticut families' health care. And that's where I think we've lost our way.
Kevin, I got a couple of questions. Number one, if the Republicans had the trifecta, and you know what I mean by the trifecta, had the governorship, had the House, had the Senate, do you think, and I have my own opinion of this, and I'm going to ask this to you, do you think the Republicans would listen and invite the Democrats to the table and listen to some ideas and even pass some of their bills?
I believe we would. I mean, I like to say, I come from a mixed household. My dad was a Republican. My mom is a Democrat. I don't look at either one of them as being right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They just had different perspectives, but both perspectives were always focused on doing what was best for the Kelly household. And I would take that to Hartford, and I would look at it the same way that I collaborate on many projects and initiatives. So I believe we would be much more open-minded and much more collaborative. I mean, you saw what happened when there was a tie in the Senate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just, okay, we're going to ramrod our ideas home. But if you have a good idea and it's a sound idea, let's hear it. And maybe together we can even make that good idea a better idea.
I have my final question, and we only really have a minute, and then we got to take a hard break here.
Sure.
Certain real estate agents would actually disagree with some of these statistics where there is was a mass exodus of citizens of Connecticut moving out of the state. They would say the numbers really don't dictate that. They don't. They say that the number is really relatively small when you look at the people who moved out of state. And then other people will say, well, yeah, it's the larger income providers or the earners, excuse me, the larger income earners are moving out of state and they're being replaced by lower income earners. What's your take on this?
Well, I'm going to look at what the DRS says, which are the tax returns that are filed in the state of Connecticut. It's the latter. We see a lot of high earners, a lot of people who have the wealth and can leave. And many of them don't. They just have a residence in another state that they're going to live there more than 6 months than they are in the state of Connecticut. And you saw that when corporate headquarters leave, but they leave the line workers behind. Budgets are calculated on those high earners still being in the state of Connecticut. And when they leave, that tax burden falls on the rest of us.
Mm.
That's what happened when Malloy gave us the two largest tax increases in the state of Connecticut's history.
Yeah.
And that's where we really started to take these huge hits, is that revenue's gone.
Yeah.
And now the middle class has to soak it up.
Yep.
And it's something that we're not capable
and
of.
Well, we're getting sick of it. We get only so much we can absorb every time. It's always us that take the hit, the middle class. Senator, we have to let you go. As always, thank you so much for being a guest with us this morning. And we look forward to hearing back from you sometime soon.
You bet. Take care, Gary. Take care, Brad.